All right, so welcome to Pre-Sources. Not long ago, there was a church that had a visiting missionary speaking. He told of the need for a new teacher in a far-off country, and he begged that if any of the young men would be willing, that they would volunteer. After the service, he was shaking hands with one person after another. The church house was starting to empty. And finally, this young man rolls up in a wheelchair and says, "Sir, are you still looking for a teacher?" And the missionary said, "Yes, we are. Do you know of someone?" And the young man said, "I would like to volunteer." And the missionary said, "But you only have one leg." The young man asked him, "How many two-legged people volunteered?" "Would you all rise, please?" "Wow! Everyone here has two legs. You may be seated. Figure it out for yourself, my lad. You've all that the greatest of men have had. Two arms, two hands, two legs, two eyes, and a brain to use if you would be wise. With this equipment, they all began. So start for the top and say, 'I can.' Look at them over. The wise and great, they take their food from a common plate, and similar knives and forks they use, with similar laces they tie their shoes. The world considers them brave and smart, but you've all they had when they made their start. You can triumph and come to skill. You can be great, if only you will. You're well equipped for what fight you choose. You have legs and arms and a brain to use. And the man who has risen great deeds to do began his life with no more than you. You are the handicap you must face. You are the one who must choose your place. You must say where you want to go, how much you will study the truth to know. God has equipped you for life, but he lets you decide what you want to be. Courage must come from the soul within. The man must furnish the will to win. So figure it out for yourself, my lad. You were born with all that the great have had. With your equipment, they all began. Get a hold of yourself and say, 'I can.'"
"I can."
I want you to be, this topic is about encouraging you to be read, to look at what you already have that has prepared you to teach. I hope by the end of this topic you won't be nearly as scared as you were this morning. So I would like for you to start by sounding like people who are no longer scared of the giants. They've got the rock. It's in the sling. They're running, and that sling is spinning over their head, and they knew the angels were going to make that thing hit the giant in the middle of his forehead. All right? So get a hold of yourself and say,
"I can."
I'm going to be like Steve. "Come on, folks. Get a hold of yourself and say,
'I can.'"
That was better. Very good. Our goal today is to identify pre-existing sources of wisdom, inspiration, and ideas. If you don't mind me cranking it up and wearing my voice out, we'll be okay.
You can do what you want, but you can shut it off too if you want.
You all need the fan, don't you? You're the one sitting here.
Personally, I don't need it. I'll let this turn on.
Sounds good. We want to identify pre-existing sources of wisdom, inspiration, and ideas for first-year teachers. Our takeaway is use your God-given resources. In the story of Gideon, Gideon was working. He was busy out there threshing wheat. He was hiding, yes, from the Midianites, but he was busy. And an angel comes along and says, Gideon, God has chosen you to do great work. And Gideon said, me? What do I know about doing anything for God? And the angel said, you're a valiant man. Go in this thy strength. Now, are you totally inexperienced? How many of you were born yesterday? Good. How many of you are under the age of 18? Wow. You all have at least 18 years of experience. That's the same as I have. Right? Your experience is just life experience. It may not be experience in the classroom. That's okay. There still are experiences that you have that you can use in your classroom. There are things you have learned when you were in school. Things you saw your teachers do that were the right thing. And unless you were taught by angels, things that you know were the wrong thing. And hopefully you learn from that. God has given each of you people. You each have friends, family. At least I hope you do. Use them. When Gideon went to take down the image of Baal, he took 10 of his father's servants with him. I don't think that's any too large an amount of people for you to have as a support group. And I strongly recommend that you find mentors while you're here. Someone you can call, someone you're comfortable with, that when you've had a bad school day and you do not feel like walking into the classroom the next day and facing those little monsters, call. You need someone to call. In fact, on the back of your handout, there is Jaden's phone number, Derek's phone number, and my phone number. You don't have to call one of us, but call someone. Have someone you can call. You all have a church. Ephesians 4:11 talks about the church being a body. You are a gift. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and teachers. God gave you as a gift to whatever church you're teaching in. Gideon's first job was to deal with worship. Your first job is to support the church you're going to be teaching in. And a very important thing for you to do, ladies, this may be more difficult for you than for some of the young men, but catch the vision of the local ministry. Okay? Work with them. I have seen teachers who tried working against the local ministerial body. It doesn't work. Don't do that. If you want to be a part of a Christian school that's going to produce people useful in the kingdom of God, support whatever ministerial group you're working under in the church. God. Is God a person? I think so. We're created in his image and we're people, right? God is a resource. When the angel was talking with Gideon, he said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. God is with you. God's with you too. Your family. And, I don't know, maybe some people, we're out in the West here, so we count pets as family, right? You can talk about your dog. I've been amazed at what talking about my dog or my pet horse or whatever does for my students. Your friends. When Gideon was facing those Midianites and God told him to go down to the camp of Midian and listen, Gideon was scared. Me? Go there? And God said, okay, take Phurah, your servant, with you. And so Gideon took Phurah. Sometimes you will face things you simply don't feel like you can face. Take a friend or have a friend walk you through it. Your school. I don't think any of you are starting a school by yourself, right? No one here is doing that. A school was already there. There was a board. They asked you to teach. But do you know what? they are responsible to be behind you. The Apostle Paul, when he was sent, answered to his home church. When he went for his missionary journeys, he came back to Antioch, answered to those people. The parents. During my first year of teaching, my co-teachers were also first-year teachers. And one of them had a child who was running her classroom. And as I was the principal, she came to my room one afternoon and said, "What am I supposed to do with this boy? He controls everything. He says when we go out for recess and when we come in, and I don't know what to do." "So, well, you need to talk to his dad." "His dad? His dad's the bishop!" "So his boy is being a jerk in the classroom, and he needs to get punished." "I can't!" "Okay, then I'll go talk to him." "No, you won't!" "Well, then, you know, somebody's got to talk to this guy." And so she actually wrote him a letter. And she drove over to his house and slipped it out of her car door and left. And the next day, I totally forgot about this conversation. And she comes sauntering into my classroom as I'm checking papers. She says, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" She said, "He was trying to please me today." "Wow. He just talked to his dad, and that was all it took." Ladies, I know this might be hard for you. I have had to tell two other lady teachers that they had to go talk to a child's dad. And both of them nearly broke into tears. But both times it worked. In Gideon's case, the people of Israel came to his father, Joash, and they said, "We want to kill Gideon. He went out there and cut down the grove and knocked over the idol." And Gideon's father said, "Oh, so you don't think the idol can take care of Gideon itself?" See, the parents are on your side. They want what you want. I believe Gideon's father knew that God was using him. And so he stood between the people and Gideon. The parents are on your side. Co-teachers. I tell people that co-teachers are like salt and pepper. They add some salt to your big ideas, right? You think, "What if we would do this tomorrow?" And then, you know, when you're getting a little boring, then they come along and say, "What if we do this tomorrow?" And you say, "Oh, yeah, that'd be a good idea." So one afternoon, while I was teaching that first year, I'd had a bad experience the previous year in our home congregation. And I was gun-shy about communicating with ladies and all this. And so I didn't. Well, just didn't talk with my co-teachers. I figured that was the safest thing to do. If you don't talk, you don't get in trouble, right? Well, one afternoon they came walking into my room. And they sat down right in front of my desk. And they said the four words that strike fear in the heart of every man. They said,
"We need to talk."
And we did. Gideon had three groups of men he used to attack the Midianites, and then he sent a messenger to the tribe of Ephraim to block the way to the river. Gideon used other people too. Use the people you're working with. They are there to help you. Publishers, they have support staff. If you are not sure how to teach a certain lesson, you can actually call whoever wrote that book, and they have people who will tell you, "Oh yeah, this is what we intended you to do there." Or if you're not sure how to plan a certain course for a year, call the people who wrote the book. They actually have folks who will answer the phone and say, "Oh, this is the way you're supposed to do it." You don't have to fight that alone. Other teachers, I want to say this again because it's so important. Find a mentor. Get a phone number before you leave. When Gideon was using those 300 men, he said, "Look on me and do likewise." Find someone who you connect with, who you can call and do like they do. You're not trying to be that person, like Mervin was talking about this morning. You're not trying to do everything like they do. But you still can look at someone else and do like they do. That's okay. Yourself. You're a person, right? Use your own past. If you want your students' attention, say, when I was in school, we had this big cafeteria and had this raised ceiling inside, and on the tables there was salt and pepper and ketchup and mustard, and it was, you know, the yellow bottle for the ketchup, I mean for the mustard, and the red one for the ketchup. And we were sitting there one day, second grade boys, we had longed to watch the high schoolers get into a food fight, but they never humored us and actually did it. And as we were sitting there eating our hot dogs, one of my friends said, what would happen if we grabbed the ketchup bottle and squeezed it really hard? And I said, well, I don't know. Why don't we find out? And so I grabbed the ketchup bottle in between my chubby hands and looked at the ceiling and squeezed. And the fountain of ketchup launched directly above me and made this beautiful glob on the ceiling. And so to extend the experiment, I started wiggling the ketchup like this. And I made the nice squiggly line, just like you see on a hot dog. And it was on the ceiling. And the whole table was just silent. Everyone was gasping, watching this experiment. And one of them said, boys being boys, but you can't hit it with the mustard. And so I grabbed the yellow one and got it right in the same spot. And I squeezed. And it hit the ceiling right where the ketchup had. And so I made a nice line there. Everyone was cheering. I was a hero. And then the principal's hand landed on my shoulder. And we had a little talk. Tell your stories. Use your own memories. When the angel came to Gideon, Gideon recalled God's miracles to the children of Israel. He said, where's God? Why isn't he helping us like he did when he helped us go through the Red Sea? And so on and so forth. Tell your students about your childhood, about the time that you were carrying a brick across the back porch and it dropped on your toe and your toe popped like a ripe tomato. Or about when you were in school and you thought that you could just change the answers on your do-over while you were checking your own paper. And then your teacher was standing beside your desk. Your teen years. Most of you have been in your teens. Some of you probably still are. In my case, I was helping stack some lumber, and 20-foot 2x6s fell on top of me and gave me a pretty good concussion, dislocated a shoulder and ripped an ear open. Your family stories. When my dad was in school, he had a crush. We heard about crushes, right? We had a crush on a girl, and so he borrowed his friend's red pen and wrote her a note in block letters, you know, so nobody would know who did this. And he slipped this note into her desk. Later on, once she found the note, some of the other students came up to him and said, Greg, you wrote that note, didn't you? And he said, ha, me? I don't even have a red pen. And they said, ah, we didn't say it was written in red. These children love those stories. Your experiences. You know, when David went to Saul to talk about approaching Goliath, and Saul said, you little shrimp, look at him. He's this big guy who's been fighting for years. You can't face him. And David said, oh, wait a minute. I was taking care of the sheep. And a lion showed up. I killed him. And a bear showed up, and I killed him too. This guy? He's not that smart. Places you've been. How many of you have been outside the United States? Good. Tell your students about where you went, even if you just stepped foot in the Pacific Ocean. People you've met. Mervin Showalter's here, wonderful person. Actually, when I was a first-year teacher, I got to listen to his father, Lester Showalter, in a class like this. It was wonderful. Talk about your failures. Gideon made an ephod, and that ended up becoming a temptation to the children of Israel. One time we were, when I was teaching that first year, we were playing softball. And one of my boys started pitching pretty mean pitches and struck out most of our team. And that riled me up. So I struck out their side. You know, we came in from that recess, and I knew everybody was mad, me included. And I decided that's the wrong way to end a recess. I'm not doing that again. And since then, I've had a policy that recess ends with, if we had an event at recess time, if we need 5 more minutes of recess to get everyone calmed down, that's what we're going to do. We come in happy. Right? Tell your students about the times you blew it. Tell them about victories. You know, we as a family, my next youngest daughter has asthma. And not long ago, she was having an asthma attack, having a lot of trouble breathing. Heart rate was going up. We were almost ready to go to the hospital. And my father-in-law stopped in. We said, can you take the other children? We need to go to the hospital now. He said, why don't we have prayer first? So we did. He laid hands on her, prayed. 5 minutes later, she was running around. Tell your children things like that. They need to know that God is just as big and powerful and all-present now as he was back then. Tell about accidents you've had. Have any of you ever been to Lamp and Light, Farmington, New Mexico? Good. You know that big mountain up behind it? Yeah, I fell down that one. I survived it. It was very thrilling. A friend of mine said it was one time he wished he had a video camera. My students enjoy hearing that story. Tell about things that you didn't understand when you were a child. For example, I think I was in fifth grade before I realized that a spouse is not a furry animal with a tail. Mine is not, by the way. She's around here and doesn't have any resemblance to me. Anyway, jobs you've done. How many of you have had a job outside the home? Good. Tell your students about what you did. I had one first-year teacher who had built cabinets, and he was going to have his students design cabinets. Sure, it's useful. They can figure that out. If you've worked in a store, teach your students how to count change properly. I'm impressed at how many people don't have a clue how to do that. Maybe I should say I'm depressed about that. Anyway, ideals. Use your character. This comes through in nonverbal communication. Your children will know what your ideals are, maybe even better than you. They will know what you believe. They will know what you dream. They'll know where you want to be 20 years from now. And you don't have to say a word. When the angel came to Gideon, he said, "You're a man of valor and faith." If your children can say that about you by the end of this school term, you will have gotten this one right. Goals. You know, Gideon's goal was to conquer the Midianites. He did that. But then he failed to keep the Israelites on the right track after that. Your goal needs to be bigger than surviving this school term without having a nervous breakdown. Okay? Your goal needs to be eternal, because the people you're working with are. You need a godly worldview. Our world is in turmoil. Scary things happen. Is God bigger than COVID? Is God bigger than Russia? Is God bigger than an atomic bomb? Yeah. When these scary things happen, some of you will probably experience death among the church families. I've known of teachers who experienced death in their own classrooms. It's not in the classroom, but of children who were there, who were part of their rooms. Is God bigger than that? If you don't already have that firmly in your heart before those things happen, your children will know. They can tell. Your confidence in God. What about when something goes wrong for you, when your car won't start? Something like that. Do you pray? Or do you get upset and kick the tires? They notice things like that. Your love for children. One of my co-teachers, I enjoy opening the door for my students when they come, if I can. I had a co-teacher a few years ago who learned that was something that just made the children's day. If a teacher was there to get the door open, and she loved her students so much that if I wanted to get there, when we heard the first car coming, I almost had to head for the door to dead run. She was fast. But she would open the door with this big smile and welcome everyone in. And it was amazing. And your humility. You are going to fail. When you do, your students know that you failed. Okay? And apologizing to them will only be agreeing with what they already know to be true. You won't tell them something they don't know when you say, "I'm sorry, I think I might have lost my temper yesterday." They'll be like, "Yeah, that was really scary." Just admit to it. You will gain their confidence by being humble enough to admit to it when you were wrong. When we had that recess that raised everyone's anger, and I apologized, I healed a lot of things. The next day, a wonderful time. Tools that are familiar to you and your students. Gideon used a bullock to pull down the idols of Baal. They used a pitcher, a torch, things that were familiar with them. Your new tools in your classroom are books. These may not be so familiar, but you're going to need to use them. Your Bible. Gideon used a fleece. Your Bible, I believe, can be your fleece. Teacher's guides. And in using teacher's guides, read the fine print. In the front of most teacher's guide, there's a part that says, "To the teacher." Who did they write that to? People like you. Okay. Read that. Handbooks. We have several here. The Handbook for Creative Teaching. And Brother Verlin Miller has a box of these to give away. I have a stack here. After the class, you're free to come up and just grab one. If you want one, and these ones are all gone, talk to Brother Verlin, and he will supply those to you. CLE has a classroom manual, another useful book. This book, The Seven Laws of Teaching, Brother Jaden and Derek will be taking care of familiarizing you with this book. I still read this book. It is so foundational, so important. Reference books. There are three words that every teacher needs to use in relation to reference books. There are the words, look it up, right? So, because you're going to be teachers, you need to practice using those words to say, look it up.
Look it up.
All right, so let's practice this. What does synthesize mean?
Look it up.
Where would I look it up?
Dictionary.
Thank you. What is Hawaii state flower?
Look it up.
Where? Thank you. How far is it from here to New York?
Look it up.
Where? Thank you for not saying GPS. How many Jameses are in the Bible?
Look it up.
Where do I look?
Important.
Is that going to help? The Bible?
Bible dictionary.
Thank you. A Bible, you could eventually get it right with the Bible. You're right. Thank you. What about which verse mentions success?
Look it up.
Where? This time you're right. Thank you. Periodicals. Get them and use them. I have examples of a few here. See all these light lines. You need to get these things. I believe, aren't those free? This is not free, but you need it. It is a magazine by teachers for teachers. And if you want to look at them, I have them here for you to look at and just peruse. These are mine. I do want them back, but you may Google them rather than Google them. Libraries. How many of you have been to a library in the last month, year? That's okay. Good. I don't go as often as I used to. Do use them with discretion, but there are things in the library that are not on the internet. Okay? So use a library. For example, in our area, there are history books recounting how rice was grown in California and how within 2 years of Orville and Wilbur Wright's flight in Kitty Hawk, rice was being planted with airplanes in the Sacramento Valley. Amazing. And you can't find that on the internet. It is okay to use the internet every now and then. But be aware that looking for information on the internet is like trying to take a drink from a fire hydrant. The chances of you getting what you actually need aren't that great. Right? So use it with discretion. I'm not against it. I do it myself. But be aware of what you're getting. School supplies. Gideon used pitchers and torches. Use the board. Okay? Teachers need to be doing this. Okay? Jesus even did this. He used the ground. Right? God did it when he wrote with his finger on the wall. Right? So this is nothing new. Paper. Your students will become very familiar with paper. You can use it for many, many things. For example, how many pieces of paper does it take to cover a 12-inch globe? That's an answer you can only figure out when you're doing geometry and figuring out the volume of a circle. Pencils and erasers. This, my friends, is the world's best calculator, and it's even trilingual. Right? Writes any language. And it has a delete button on the back. Right? Your class table. Have your students touch it and find out if it's rough or smooth. How about this one? What would you say it is?
Smooth.
Smooth. What about, is it dry or is it wet?
It was dry.
It was dry. Is it warm or is it cold?
Cold.
They're familiar objects. Use the things in your classroom. There's so many simple things we can do. Find the square footage of that, right? You can do that. Use your students' lunches. Grab a yogurt container and find out the volume in there. And ask them, how many of your lunches would it take to feed 5,000 people? The correct answer is one. Right? Okay. And gravel. I have taught
a tremendous amount of math using rocks. Not necessarily rocks that are this pretty. And by the way, you can pass these around. Just take a peek at that. And some of those other ones if you'd like.
Just because I enjoy rocks. We can use rocks to teach addition and subtraction, division, multiplication. And it's familiar. Children are used to rocks and dirt, right? Give them things they're used to. David used 5 smooth stones. A clock.
Have a clock in your classroom. Ladies, if you're in a lower grade classroom, put 2 zeros at the top. A 15 right here, a 30 right there, and a 45 over here. So that the guesswork is gone for those third and fourth graders who are trying to learn to read a clock. Have one available for them.
Use coins.
Don't let your students just use things that are drawn and so on. Give them a coin and ask them, how many of those does it take to one of these? 4. Maybe we just give you a handful of coins and say, you may count and see how much money it's worth. You can let us know in a little bit. All right.
I enjoy collecting those things. Jesus used a coin, right, to teach several lessons. We should too. Use your globe. Teach it. And I hate the fact that I have to say this, but teach a spherical earth without apology. All right? Enough said. Use a wall map. Show your students distances and so on. And I hope you all become collectors of something. I collect coins, rocks. I have an arrowhead collection.
Does anyone know what this is, by the way?
It's an Indian drill. You would have attached that by the top. Ladies, do you know what this is? It's a knife. All right.
This would have been used to scrape hides. Indian women would have used this. It actually does not fit in my palm as well as it will in yours. It would have been held like this and dragged across a hide to pull all the fat off of it. Just go ahead and grab and feel how that would have been. And imagine yourself doing that for 8 or 10 hours a day during the fall when the buffalo were being killed and the women would scrape hides for hours upon hours.
Children love getting a feel. History shouldn't just be a story. It is a story. Give them something to grab. Tools of your trade. Gideon used thorns and briars to teach some kings a lesson. I've always enjoyed that part of his story.
Use your tape measure, gentlemen. And don't just get a regular one. Get one like this. What is interesting about this one? It's English and metric. These are not that hard to find. Go looking for them, pass it around to the others, just take a peek at it.
You need an English and metric tape in your classroom. It makes it easy for students to understand the differences. Measuring cups, ladies.
Surely you've got access to some of this. Don't tell your students that there are 3 teaspoons and a tablespoon without showing them. Have them actually do it. Don't bother with telling them that there's 2 pints in a quart. Have them go out to the kitchen, fill up a pint jar, a couple pints, and dump it into a quart jar. So.
A kitchen scales. Those are cheap. Most of them show both grams and ounces and so on. Your microwave. Most of your schools will probably have some type of heating device, microwave or stove. You can actually use those to teach lessons. I'd love to today, but we don't have time.
Ladies, if you're teaching dozens, get some egg cartons. Children are familiar with these. How many things are in a dozen? Oh, yeah. 12. Right. What about a half dozen? Oh, yeah. Piece of cake. So we've got it.
Use mirrors to show how light works. And gentlemen, if you have access to blueprints, bring them into the classroom. When your children are learning scale models, you can show them a real one. So whatever you've used in your occupation up until now. Drag it into your classroom. It might be interesting sometimes, so one day even to show up dressed like you would have been to go to work on your other job. You know, men wearing a tool belt and ladies with an apron and all sorts of needles poking everywhere. Just be careful, you know, who you hug in those situations. Locations. We all teach somewhere, right? So use yours. Gideon was behind the wine press. He was in a familiar place. You can tell your students at our house, we have a pond, and there are little eyeballs floating near the edge. At least that's what they look like to start with. And then they grow tails. But after that, they get little legs on them. And then they jump out of the water. And they go ribbit. You can use analogies relating to your home or their bedroom, because that's familiar to them. This is about as big as a dresser or something like that. And your quiet place. As teachers, you will face many, many people and lots of noise. But you need a quiet place too. Find a spot that you can be alone. Jaden talked about the bathroom at the school, one school. I would suggest somewhere outside where I like to go personally. Just go for a walk or something. Have a place you can go to just be in touch with God and be quiet and alone. Your school property. When Gideon took those men to test them, he took them down to the river and had them drink. Your schoolroom should teach, even if you're not there. I like seeing walls that teach, walls that have posters that show phases of the moon or whatever, something instructive. You can use your school building to teach shapes. Yeah, the end of the school building is a pentagon, right? It has a bottom, sides, and then two more sides. It's a pentagon. And they can learn. Have your students find the surface area of the classroom or the volume of air inside it. Use the tools you have. Use your playground. Have them draw a solar system. Put the sun on the pitcher's mound, for example, and try to figure out how far Earth would be away if the sun was the size of a ping pong ball, which would actually be quite a ways. Use the area that you live in. My first year was taught in Southwest Missouri, where I grew up. The humidity there is much higher than it is here. And because of that, sun dogs are actually fairly common. And I had been telling my students about sun dogs. And one day we were out playing volleyball, and I went to serve the ball. And I threw the ball way up in the air, and as I was peering up, following the trajectory of the ball, I noticed that there was a perfectly circular sun dog around the sun. And I yelled, "Sun dog!" And they all looked up. And then the volleyball came down and hit me on the forehead. And I demonstrated the power of gravity. They all enjoyed that, and they didn't forget what sun dogs were. Gideon got up on those hills around Midian. He used the land features. Use your local hills to teach things about elevation, about erosion. Use them in examples. I enjoy talking to my students. We have a large lake nearby. I enjoy talking to the students about the volume of water flowing through the lake. How many gallons are in a cubic foot? And if there are 25,000 cubic feet per second flowing out of that thing, then how many gallons is that in a day? And you get up in the millions real fast. So last year we had a nice rainy season in our area of California. And because of that, some of the local waterfalls were running quite well, and we took an afternoon off and hiked back to a waterfall. It's very rewarding. Local weather patterns. Occasionally I will set out a rain gauge and track the rain for several weeks or something. Use opportunities. The weather at times will give you an opportunity to teach something. Maybe you're not studying hail right now, but you have a hail storm. We've had them in our area, and the children can hardly stay at their lessons anyway, so just go outside and take a look at the hail. Teach them about hail. Use those opportunities. Like Gideon, you lack prior experience in the work God has called you to do. Yet God has chosen you, and he'll be with you. For years, he has been preparing you to teach, just like he did Gideon. God has already surrounded you with abundant resources. Use them to accomplish his purposes, for God has already delivered them into your hand. Take away again, use your God-given resources and get a hold of yourself and say,
I can.
Good. Do you feel a little better after this? Worse? Was it encouraging? Supposed to be? Good. All right. Thank you for your attention.